says, I pleaded to Hashem, I prayed to Hashem, at that time saying, Hashem, let's see Rashi, the first Rashi. What does mean voeschanan? Ein chanun b'chol mokoyim ela l'shoin matnas chinam. Okay, voeschanan means that Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not pray. We like to translate the word prayer. That's going to be Rashi's second pshat. It's very important, this Rashi, very important Rashi. Voeschanan means I asked Hashem to give me a free gift. A free gift, a freebie. Ein chanun b'chol v'koyim ela l'shoin mat naschinam. Afalpi, what do we know here? Afalpi sheish lohem l'tzadikim litlois b'ma'aseim hatovim. Even though tzadikim have credit in the bank, and they can buy something, they can purchase something with their credit. Ein mevakshim me'es ha'mokoyim, they do not ask Hashem, ela mat naschinam, a freebie. Lifi she'omar loy v'chanoisi es asher ochoin. And where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn this from? He learned this from the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. V'chanosi es asher achon v'richamti es asher arachem. I will show chen. Chen means I give people freebies. So tzaddikim, it's an amazing thing. You know, that's really, isn't that the way it is in the workplace today? And in the people who make the big bucks, the big lawyers, the big accountants, the big people who work in certain fields, the main parnasa are the bonuses, not even the salary. You get a salary, it would be a good salary, more than most people make their whole life, maybe in 1 year, and then they get a bonus, and the bonus can be 10 times their salary. And sometimes the bonus is only 3 times their salary, whatever it is. So the bonus, that's a manas chinam. That's not what you're entitled to. It's a very interesting concept, and you see that here in Rashi, but Rashi obviously by tzaddikim, it's the real deal. You work, you labor hard to earn your keep, and then Hashem gives bonuses. I know of a very wealthy person, very, very wealthy. I know of him indirectly through a person who's married to this one, who's married to that one. You know, a whole chadgadya, how I know of him. I don't know him from Adam. He doesn't know me from Adam. I know a lot of things, some secrets about him. And I know that he has a very big family. And I know that he doesn't, that he's very generous. But I don't know if this is good or bad. It's none of my business. But his attitude towards his family is, you must work. You must make your own parnasa. Go to school, get a job, do something, anything. You have to make your own parnasa to be able to sustain yourself. Minimally, you have to be able to sustain yourself. And when people in his family do that, he then gives them lavish gifts. He'll take them and their whole family for Pesach to a 5-star hotel. He'll take them for the whole summer, he'll treat them. He'll just one day drop by to visit them and give them a check of $10,000. But to the people in his family that don't have parnasa, and they come to him like a leech, you know, support me. I can't live, I can't pay the bills. I'm not giving you nothing. You have to make your own parnasa. If you make your own parnasa, I will be here. I will go. I'll give you bonuses. It's interesting. It's a very interesting idea. Is that a nice thing to do? Listen, none of my business. I'm just telling you what someone told this to me, and I know it's true. I know it's true because I know from different angles that it's true, and it's very interesting that you see over by Moshe Rabbeinu the same exact thing. Moshe Rabbeinu has what to be toiled in, but Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "Voeschanan, ein voeschanan l'shem anaschinam." I want a gift. It's a very interesting idea. Dover acher, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not being mechadish. This Moshe Rabbeinu learned this from Hashem. Hashem told him, "V'chanosi es asher achoin." And then it says here, Dover acher, another pshat, ze'echad me'asara l'shana shenikres tfila. There's something called tfila, prayer. Kedi'isa b'sifrei, there are 10 expressions of prayer, which means supplication. It's not a free gift. And it's a very important yisoid. You earn tfila. This itself is a very powerful rashi. What you gain through tfila is not a gift. Tefila is an avoda. It's hard work. Okay, it's really hard work. People, unfortunately, most people, this idea is totally foreign to them. To say to them that when you get through tefila is you earn it, because they don't know what davening is. Davening is come to shul an hour early for shachris, start davening. Start davening half an hour before. There's no shul in the whole Flatbush. I don't believe there's even one shul in the whole Flatbush. Maybe not that you can really daven the entire davening with the pace of the minyan. It's just not possible. You can say the whole pesukah de Zimra in 7 minutes. Mark, you can say the whole pesukah de Zimra. Will you daven? How long does pesukah de Zimra take on a regular weekday? 7 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. You can say every single word. Clearly with kavana, like you count money?
I say by myself.
Ah, so you come early. You come early, right? You come early, you have to come early. Like I always say, all of these campaigns, stop the talking during davening, and they send out these videos, and they pour in bucket loads of money on the newspaper. Stop the talking. Just put away your cell phone. You see these new things about your cell phone, just put it away. It's not nice of me to say, but this is a little baloney. This is going to get you nowhere. It's going to turn people off really, really fast. They should have put all the money of and all the speeches and drive everyone crazy to come early to davening. Because stop the talking during davening, you're treating a symptom. And the more you irritate the symptom, it's going to backfire on you. You're not treating the disease. The way to treat the problem is to treat the disease. The disease is to have an appreciation for davening. There is no way you can have an appreciation for davening if you come in the middle of davening and you rush through it. It's impossible. The only way, you have to let it settle. It's like parenting. I used to read these books, articles, and these are yesod in parenting. A lot of parents today are super, super busy. They don't have a second to live. And they got kids. You're supposed to raise your children. Yeah, it's impossible to raise children today when you have to make a parnasa. And when both the husband and the wife, they work full-time, and they still can't make a parnasa. And I have to raise the children also? Are you kidding? Who has time to do that also? So they have a solution. We can't spend with our children a quantity of time, but what we'll do is we'll spend qualitative time. We'll have quality time. We'll spend with them every night 10 minutes. Just to devote to the child. We'll go on a trip once a month. We'll take them out to dinner. We'll spend short amount of time, quality time. And all the big experts will say to you, you're wasting your time. There's no such thing. There is no such thing in parenting as success with this approach of quality moments of time. Just spend 10 minutes. And those 10 minutes should be meaningful, a meaningful minute. You know, they have on the internet, a meaningful minute. Very nice organization. It's beautiful. Yoel Gold, he's my hero. A meaningful minute. There's no such thing. If there is no quantity, there will be no quality. You can't just create quality on the fly. It's impossible. You need quantity. You need waste. There's waste. That's how it goes. When you see these big companies, they optimize. They're going to optimize everything. They're going to cut out all the waste. You know what happens? The whole company goes on under. There has to be a shtickle waste, a little fluff, in order to create an environment where in that environment you will gain quality. If you're just going to focus only on the quality, you're going to have nothing. It doesn't go like that. It may be on paper. It seems like, yeah, on paper, everything looks perfect on paper. But in the world of reality, that's not the way it goes. In the world of reality, you need there to be quantity in order to achieve in that quantity quality. You cannot just have that quality. It's the same thing with davening. You can't just have a meaningful come, but you come on time, come late. no talking during those 10 minutes and you have an unbelievable. It doesn't go like that. It just doesn't go like that. There has to be a devotion, which means you committed. Committed means you come every single day, you come early, you come a half an hour early, an hour early. Oh, I'm wasting that hour. Well, guess that's not a waste of an hour. That's what it is. That's the way it goes. That's life. That's how it goes. Tefillah, you earn. A person that really has an appreciation of tefillah, he davens with a lot of kavanah, what you accomplish during davening, you are earning. Earning. This is not a gift. The Chazon Ish was a very big davener. He was an unbelievable davener. And he would say that all in his learning, second to none. What the chidush of the Chazon Ish is beyond. His chidushim are beyond belief. And he would say that his success only came from the koyach ha-tefillah. All of his success is not from hasmada, learning. He earned it through davening. He was a very big oyved Hashem. Now it's really public knowledge, right? They say this all over. Now, the Chazon Ish did not always daven. There's a really strange story. A guy comes to his house to talk to him at night. He has an emergency. He needs advice. He comes to me. He makes an appointment. I don't know. He comes, shows up at 11 o'clock at night. And the Chazon Ish is sitting at the dining room table. And he's talked to him. And he tells him the problem. The Chazon Ish gives him a good advice. Then he says, okay, I'm going. Thank you very much. I'm going to daven Ma'ariv now. Did you daven Ma'ariv? He embarrassed the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, no, I didn't daven Ma'ariv. So come with me. Says, I can't. Says, you can daven Yechidus? I don't know the conversation, but the Chazon Ish basically said to him, I'm not davening Ma'ariv, period. The Chazon Ish. So he said, that's right. I'm not. That's why. I don't have koyach. I can't do it. I'm an oynes. Says, what? What? You're talking to me. What do you mean you're an oynes? You're talking to me. I can't concentrate. I don't have the koyach. You don't understand how tired I can't understand. So he says, so be like, and no, I have koyach. It's just lip service. I go to Ma'ariv. I daven Ma'ariv. It's a joke. You go to Ma'ariv. That's what an Orthodox Jew does. You go to Ma'ariv. Lip service. So the same way I do lip service, come with me. You'll also do lip service. So he says, that's not the way I daven. I don't do lip service. It's either I daven or I don't. And according to the halacha, I really can't do it. I'm wiped out. I'm washed out. He had these crazy hours, crazy schedule, the Chazon Ish. He stayed up like forever, 2 days in a row, then he went to sleep. I could talk to you and give you advice, but I cannot bring myself to be mechaveh in the Shem Hashem. I really can't. It's incredible. Now, this is a very dangerous story, because if a yeshiva bacher hears that story, the yeshiva bacher is a tippish. He thinks he's the Chazon Ish. He's also not going to daven Ma'ariv. No one is a Chazon Ish today. There's no such thing as a Chazon Ish today. Don't fool yourself. No one. It doesn't exist. You do your lip service like everyone else. That's the way the world is today. But it goes. Yeah.
They say what the Rebbe say, the reason why they daven late, like 10, 11, 12, is because they need time to concentrate.
I don't know. Don't get me started. This is schwach. Listen, I'm not gonna put my head in an oven. It's hot enough outside today. I don't need to stick my head in an oven over here and say what I want to say. All right, we live today in different times. That's the way it is. But over here, there's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi over here gives you two perushim. He says, number one, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want a freebie. Because you, Hashem, you give out freebies. I have a lot of merit, but I want a freebie. I don't want to take away my merit in the next world. I don't want to pay off in this world. I want to save all my merit for the next world. Rashi doesn't really say that, and I want a freebie. The second shot is no. The word V'es Hanan means to pray. If you pray, it's not a freebie. You earn it. You earn your keep. That's the second. It's a very big naf between the two Purushim of Rashi. Bo'esahi, what's bo'esahi? Li'acha shekovashti eretzichin v'oig dimisi shema chutar haneder. Anu chedish. Even though Hashem made a gzeira, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, because the chibbutz me'am Ariva, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael under no condition. Moshe Rabbeinu, now this is very big chiddush, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that he was successful. He did, in other words, the other side of the Yarden does have a din of Eretz Yisrael. It does. And B'nai God, B'nai Ruvain, they actually did Moshe a favor by saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to cross the Yarden, and we want to stay here, we want to stay put, this will be our Eretz Yisrael. They gave that part of the land even more sanctity on the other side, on the east side of the Yarden. And Moshe was successful in doing miracles and conquering Eretz Sichon and Oig Melech HaBashan. So Moshe believed that maybe Hashem really was matter than Eder. He was matter than Eder. He forgave him for his sin, because since he partially entered into Eretz Yisrael on the east side of the Yarden, so once I can go on the east side of the Yarden to Eretz Yisrael, so what's the difference? I can go on to the west side of the Yarden as well. I can cross the Yarden. So therefore, Moshe, this is what the event, the success of conquest, opened up his mind that maybe Hashem was matir. That's why it's Bo'es Ha'hi. I believed Shema Chutar Haneder. Lamar, what's Lamar? Ze echad mishloishem mekoma shomar Moshe l'vayamokim eni manichacho adche todi eni im taase she'elasi im lav. It sounds like shidduchim. In shidduchim, the most annoying thing is someone says to you, "I'm writing you a shidduch, and I want you to get back to me either yes or no." Excuse me. What do you mean, get back to you with a no? If I want, I'll call you back and say yes. If I don't call you back, it automatically means, no, you have to call me back and say no. Who says? If I come to you, derech eretz, derech eretz. You have to, a guy you never heard before, burst out of the blue, okay, a guy you never knew, this guy, he calls from Kalamazoo, he gets your number, he calls you up, and he reads you a shiur that's totally inappropriate, totally off, he doesn't even know who you are, doesn't know the girl, totally off the charts, and I want to marry you off. Or she happens to be 89 years old. I don't want to insult the guy. I'll say, okay, you know, let me look into it. No, you have to get back to me tomorrow with a yes or a no. Excuse me, I don't know who you are. I don't have to get back to you, nothing. If I would come to you, then yes. You can't go do that to me. Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly this to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want something. And I want to hear from you either yes or no. Lamar. Throughout the entire Torah, when it says Lamar, it's always the other way around. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamar. Hashem says to Moshe, Lamar saying. Now what does it mean there? There in that context, it means Moshe. It means one of two things. It's a very big machloek, it's what it means. In Yiddish, there are two different Yiddish in when they teach children in Yiddish. I never learned Chumash in Yiddish. But when they teach children Yiddish, if you go to the Hasidic yeshivas, there are two different ways to translate the word Lamar. I don't know the Yiddish. One is that Hashem said to Moshe, Lamar, you should now go and tell this over to the Jewish people. I'm telling you something. This is not private information. This is not a secret. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Lamar. Now take the information I've given you and go and say it over. Go to Klal Yisrael and repeat it. Say it to them. The other translation for Lamar means saying. This is what Hashem said to Moshe. Should Moshe tell this to Klal Yisrael? That's another discussion. But the word Lamar does not necessarily mean that Moshe is being instructed to go do something. Rashi obviously is of the opinion that the word lamar has a connotation of instruction. So that would mean that when Hashem says to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, lamar, I told you something, now you should go and repeat word for word what I said to you, repeat it to the Jewish people. The word leimar is an instruction. Now, if that is correct, when Moshe says leimar to Hashem, what does that mean? I pray to Hashem leimar. What does it mean leimar? What does it mean leimar? And then, according to this interpretation, that Hashem says, Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem, I want you to go and tell this over to all of your malachim. You have a lot of malachim in Shemayim? Go tell them what I said. That's ridiculous. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go tell Hashem, Lema, you should now go and repeat what I said to you. Go repeat it to all the malachim in Shemayim. That's ridiculous. So what then, what other instruction could the word leimar possibly mean? It means, Hashem, you answer me back. You, Hashem, say something back to me. Either say back to me yes, or say back to me no. If the word leimar is an instruction, then this Rashi makes sense. If the word leimar is not an instruction, it just means this is the content of the dibur, then what in the world is Rashi saying? I always, until I heard this machla. I remember Reisman, Mitzvah Shabbos, he explained this. I never knew this stuff. That there are two different translations for the word leimar. I always thought leimar means saying. Vayidaber Hashem, Hashem said El Moshe to Moshe, leimar, saying. What does saying mean? I never thought about it. It means this is what Hashem said. So, why do you, that's obvious, right? So why do you need the word? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, period. End of the pasuk. What's lamar? This is what Hashem said. You know, think about it. That's the expression. That's the way the language is. Lamar, it's a nuance. It's eloquent. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lamar. If you learn that's what the word lamar means, then you don't have a kasha. There's no need for Rashi to make a comment. Vo'eschanan, I prayed, or I asked Hashem for a freebie, El Hashem, bo'esahi, at that time, lemar, and this is what I said to Hashem. But Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi understands where lemar is an instruction. And when Hashem said to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe lemar, it means, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, you should now go and repeat to Klal Yisrael what I just told you. If that's what the word lema means in that context, so then what does it mean in this context? When Moshe is speaking to Hashem, Bo eschanan el Hashem, I pray to Hashem, lemar, and I gave Hashem instructions. Instructions? What kind of instructions do you give Hashem? Rashi, lemar, there are three times in the Torah where Moshe gave Hashem instructions. Ze echad mishloisha mekaymol she'omar Moshe lefnei ha'makom, eini manichacho, I'm not going to let go of you. Ad she'todieni, I demand of you, you give me either a yes or a no. She'todieni im taseh she'elosi, if you will fulfill my request, im lav or not, yes or no. Now that's a pella, okay? How do you talk to Hashem like that? What kind of? You don't talk to Hashem like that. My high, I don't know. I mamash don't know what this a pele poem around with this Rashi, and it's the first Rashi in the parasha. I mean, you don't have to even go into the unknown zone. Some people don't get past the first Ali in Rashi, but right over here, yeah, this is Kerel Rashi. Now let's see the Targum. Okay, only one pasuk so far. Vitzalisi. That's an explosive statement. Now you know why Rashi didn't get a good night's sleep. Because the word vitzalisi means prayer. It only means prayer. The first words of Rashi, now you go back to Rashi. Now you understand what was bothering Rashi. Rashi starts off, Ein chanun b'chol mokom ela l'shoin manas chinam. Rashi is coming to attack with ferocity the Targum. Rashi's first interpretation is a head-on attack, a nuclear, he's dropping a nuke on the Targum. Targum, you translate the word for eschanan, vitzalisi, I prayed, a tefillah? I totally disagree with you. Wherever it says in the entire Tanakh, the word for eschanan, it means no prayer, freebie. Prayer is not a freebie. Prayer you earn. Ein chanun b'chol makoim ela l'shoin matnas chinam. Rashi is clearly saying a pshat based upon after he read the Targum and he's now launching an attack. Okay, next. Kodom Hashem, before Hashem. Kodom Hashem, bo'esi at that time, bo'esi b'idono hahu l'meimar. Okay, that's straightforward. Now let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Chav Dalet. Next, Hashem Elohim. Hashem Elohim, ato you Hashem. So over here we have two Shemais. Okay, we have two Shemais of Hashem. Aleph. Now Aleph Dalet, this is going to be very important. You're going to see something very fascinating in a few moments. But Hashem, over here we have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and then we have Yud Kei Vav Kei. And everyone knows that when you have this combination of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, followed by Yud Kei Vav Kei, the pronunciation is Elohim. And if you look at the Nikud of the Yud Kei Vav Kei in your Chumash, there will be a segel underneath the Yud, a cholam on top of the hay, and a chirik under the Vav to indicate that the pronunciation is not Hashem Hashem, but it's E, segel, lo, cholam, and a chirik kim. So whenever you have Aleph Dalet, I'm telling you this for a reason, you'll see in a few moments, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, it means you pronounce it Adnus, and then Elohim. Hashem Elohim, Atoyu, Hachiloi, so you have begun, Laharois to show. This is a very long pasuk. This is like a run-on pasuk. This is like a run-on sentence, this pasuk. Atoyu, Hachiloi, so you have begun, Laharois to show es avdecho, es godlecho, your greatness, vies yodcho hachazoko, your outstretched hand, Asher mikel bashamayim uva'aretz. Now here is a question. Is this a rhetorical question or is this a statement? Asher, l'chor, it's a rhetorical question. Asher mikel bashamayim uva'aretz. Is there another God out there? Mikel, it's a rhetorical statement. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not meant to be read as a question. It's meant to be read as a statement. Okay, let's hold back on that. Asher yaseh that can do chima asecha, like your deeds, v'chig v'ura asecha, and your gevura. Let's see Rashi. Now, by the way, before we go, can you hear me well? I'm just curious. Can you hear me? I'm a laser. Can you hear me? Is the sound okay? No?
Yeah, I hear you, but it is like Rashi.
It's going in and out? I think there's something wrong here in this room where I am. There's very poor reception. Give me one second. I'm gonna log out and log back. It works sometimes when I do this. Give me one second.
Garble. It's all
garbled. Okay, I'm back. Is that any better?
So far,
but okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Okay, so let's now continue. Let me put this over here. Okay, I'll just hold it. Okay. Now we come to the Rashi. Rashi over here says Rashi. There's a lot going on here in this Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chav Dalet. Hashem Elohim. So Rashi picks up over here. Rashi picks up on.
Not too good.
It's not good now?
It's not too good.
Sounds no good?
Yeah, I'm static.
How about now?
The volume is good, but you have stopped it.
How about now? Is it any better now?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No one wants that.
All right, let me think what I can do. Let me try a different device. Give me 1 second. Let's try this.